You know, sometimes following the lectionary is really, really difficult. When we do that, because it's sort of like following the church calendar and different things, and the scriptures are laid out so that we can complete reading the Bible during cycles and different things. But this scripture this week was a little hard, and about the demonic. And this wild person that was in the scripture, I don't know. Was he wild or domesticated? We don't know. Was he barbaric or civilized? And but we do know that he went from haunted to healed. And we all desire healing. We all need healing in some areas of our life, both physically and spiritually. And so I think it's time that maybe we just take a look at some things. Now, I told you before, I am not an expert in anything. I'm just a thinker. But I do a lot of reading and a lot of studying. But the extreme trauma of stress or mental illness, even the most civilized person may appear utterly disheveled or physically or mentally and spiritually challenged in a lot of areas. I've seen people suffering from deep sense of grief. And when they were doing that, they even avoided washing their hair because they were just in grief so bad they couldn't even do some of the normal things in life. People that would avoid their friends or lash out in anger at those who try to comfort them. I've seen people suffering from illness of the brain, and they act strange in usual ways. And during my time as a volunteer hospice chaplain, and I've heard stories as we sit around and deprogram stuff that we would experience, talk about it. And one of the chaplains said about one of his experiences, he said, when I entered the room of a particular older woman who suffered from dementia, he said, the moment I started to speak to her, she picked up a large cup of water from her tray and threw it at me with all her might, Dousing me with the water and missing my head by an inch with the cup. I later learned that because she had a petulant habit of throwing water at anybody who dared to enter her room, the staff would only allow her plasticware, and I guess that was a good thing. But I've heard about other caregivers that lament that their formerly docile and sweet partners have turned angry and aloof after their Alzheimer's diagnosis. Other kinds of mental illnesses can render people hostile, confused, self-dangerous, and left untreated. Paranoia can cause people to self-isolate or become accusatory, and many of those with schizophrenia end up homeless or on the streets due to their petulant, from running from family to friends and friends to family. Looking for a home. On top of all that, we really have no idea where the lines of mental anguish end and acts of evil begin in those diagnosed with psychopathic or narcissistic disorders. After years of research, the experts say they still have very little that they know about the workings of the human brain. But what we do know for sure is that we human beings are complex. We're complex individuals. We're part wild and part civilized. We can act instinctively and impulsively at times, and we can act with reason and intention in others, and then our nature relies on an intricate balance of our emotions and our reason. You know, Jesus' emotion also, that's what makes him so perfect as our intercessor and our healer. He experienced emotion, you know. He got angry and turned the tables over in the temple when he saw the money changers, what they were doing. So even the most happy individual can go through times of unrest, despair, grief, or emotional debilitation. And I think most of us don't run off to the graveyard, though, or caves, or strip off all our clothes and eat raw meat. But at one time or another, we can all become haunted by our past, our deeds, our failings, or even our anger. And when we do, we can behave in unexpected ways. We don't know the exact circumstances of the man that Jesus encountered that day in the region of the Gerasenes, but we do know that he was in some way haunted. He was living outside the civilized village by himself, among the tombs, carved out of caves, which was designated for the dead people. And he had left the social environment of the living and chosen instead to isolate himself among the dead. Now we know from the scripture that he is violent and that he had been repeatedly driven into the wilds. Now the wilds are an interesting location. You remember when Jesus in his time went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil? Well, the wild sometime can be a time of contemplation or a time of testing or endurance or prayer. But for some, they can also be a time of isolation, rage, desolation, and even despair. While in Jesus' time, the wilderness was accompanied by the Holy Spirit when he was in the wilderness. Thank God for the Holy Spirit keeping Jesus sane. But this man's time in the wilds was accompanied by a demonic spirit, inflicting a legion of torment upon him, and he, in essence, being tortured by an army of affliction. Whatever the cause, we don't know, but he is haunted, a haunted individual incapable of lashing out violently at anybody who tried to help him or secure him. Now, Jesus, however, approaches him. Now, interestingly, without Jesus even having done anything except to call out the spirit, he said, "Get out of this man, evil spirit," and the man fell down at his feet and acknowledged him as the Son of God and begged him not to torment him. Think about that. Well, even the disciples doubt who Jesus is at one time or another, and the Pharisees certainly couldn't see who he was for the life of them. The demons knows who Jesus is immediately and fears his power. I think that's impressive. Knowing that Jesus no longer allowed them to torture and destroy the spirit of the man before him, they begged Jesus to enter into a nearby herd of pigs. He called them to go and get into the pigs, and they do, and immediately the herd is destroyed, causing them to leap off of a cliff into the depths of the sea. Alarmed and fearful that one swift move, Jesus had managed to decimate an entire herd of pigs. Well, you know, the Jews didn't really want anything to do with pigs. They always felt as though they were unclean and you weren't supposed to eat them. But because of their formerly loco compatriot, he now appears docile and at ease. And the local asked Jesus to, "You leave this, leave, get out of here, Jesus." And he obliges them, not before bidding the healed man to go and to proclaim God's glory throughout the city. "Go and tell what God has done for you." For whenever Jesus heals, evangelism always follows. And while many may be doubtful, those who have been healed by Jesus know the power that God can wield, and they want to let others know about it. This is a powerful situation for many of us over the top of the passage, because one of those really hard-to-believe kind of miracles that makes us wonder what on earth that was really about, casting out an evil spirit and casting it into the pigs, and they went down there. But now us living in the 21st century, a time of rationality and psychoanalysis, we can't help to wonder what really took place. But if we allow our faith to kick in, we realize that it doesn't matter so much what the source of this man's haunted soul was. Was he mentally ill? Was he suffering from a terrible disease? Was he immersed in self-harm or destructive behavior or grief? Was he angry or hurt? A state of psychoanalysis or whatever? We have no idea. But what we do know is that whatever happened that day, a man was haunted and he was healed. And think about that. So can we. Now, I'm fairly certain that not all of us sitting in the pews today or even at your home listening to this at home suffer from a legion of the same sort of ailments that the man from Jezreel did. But I think all of us at one time or another suffered from disillusionment, depression, despair, grief, or one of the many other malaise that the world can inflict upon us at any moment. I know I have, whether physically, mentally, or spiritually. And we find it hard to heal ourselves. And we may be self-isolated. We may turn to addictions, and we may do a number of other things to try to ward off the turmoil in our life. But only a cure for an ailing spirit is Jesus. That's the only cure. He is the balm of Gilead. And I often wondered about that term, but it's Gilead, and the balm of Gilead is a rare perfume that in a location of the world called Gilead, and it's a balm or a salve. And his healing hand and merciful heart, his cup of blessings and sacrificial spirit that heals us and guides us and brings us back home to ourselves, to our friends and our family, and more importantly, to our life. Jesus is the Lord of life. And no matter what kind of death threatens us, whether it's an illness, a fear, sorrow, loss, Jesus will offer us a hand of hope and healing. And he will banish the stuff that haunts us and restore us to health. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. And that's what to do. Jesus will give us the hope. And in him we find it. We find ourselves. Because he is the perfect intercessor, because he came into this world through the virgin birth as a baby, grew in wisdom and stature, and was raised by a family, and he learned all this stuff, but he was God manifested in the flesh. That's why he understands everything about us. And the emotional healing is something that every person needs to be healed from. Even Jesus, if you remember, when he went into the temple and he saw the money changers desecrating the temple, he got angry and he overturned the tables. I think all of us have been wounded emotionally. And there's many variations of emotional brokenness and pain. There's many types of people, whether the cause is natural or because of another sin, or the majority of people fight some type of emotional battle. And Joyce Meyer wrote a wonderful book called The Battlefield of the Mind. But I think some of the most common symptoms of emotional harm are sleeplessness, detachment, depression, anger, isolation, bitterness, frustration, fear. Some of the most common causes are abandonment, broken trust, broken relationship, chronic pain or illness, rejection, a lack of community, a sense of life's meaningless, and unfortunately the modern culture that we live in is a breeding ground for these emotional destroyers. And we're increasingly drawn away from community towards individualism, away from trustworthy behavior, and towards selfishness, and away from morals that give our life purpose, and towards existentialism and postmodernism that detach us from one another and from our humanity, and away from healthy choices and healthy practices, and towards instant gratification that downgrades our physical health. And you wonder, how can a person flounder around in this culture and find emotional healing? Wow! We know where the emotional healing can come from. It comes from Jesus. Some say that all we need to do is accept Jesus, and we do need to do that. We'll be suddenly healed from our malaise, emotional and otherwise. But the fact remains that we're flesh-bound creatures. And Jesus even told us in Matthew 26:41, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we know the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He talked about it. And for some reason, that flesh, God didn't take it away from him. But that's what kept him humble. So by following God and understanding is the first step to emotional healing. He's the one who restores our soul, like it says in Psalm 23. Jesus came in part to heal the brokenhearted, and we must remember that it is a healing process. It involves moment by moment. I always say one day at a time, more than I can handle. I need to do it 1 second at a time. Trust and obey the Lord, for there's no other way. So all of these healthy interactions are based on Scripture. Healthy activities benefit our bodies. Give you a few little things to think about in closing. Meditate on God's Word, which is the Bible. Confess any unknown sin to God. And then take control of your thoughts like Jesus did. Get thee behind me, Satan. And let the Holy Spirit take control of those thoughts. And refuse to fall back into old sinful habits. It's hard, but you can do it. And forgive those who have hurt you. And see yourself as God sees you. Perfect, wonderful, washed, and sanctified. And then get involved in a Bible-believing local church. Thank God for all of you who come here to Bethel. We're not a perfect church by no means, but we do have a fellowship and a teaching ministry, and we try to help one another because we're called to love one another and exercise all the spiritual gifts of the gospel. And then Jesus can help you find emotional healing because His Spirit is the Spirit of kindness, selflessness, truth, and trustworthiness. And Jesus finds joy in producing such qualities in us. So when we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, He can and will delight to turn us around and make us the kind of people who can trust and be trusted by others. And the Bible's full of passages that bring not only emotional healing, but also some physical healing. Call upon the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. In Jesus' name, have a wonderful day.